may think about the arguments that are offered about bringing another kid into the world. But how do you argue with the logic of loving one that's already here? Waiting children, as orphans are often called, often do think they're from another planet, that they don't fit. But what we're going to talk about this morning is how we, as Christians, when it comes to the care of orphans and adoption, we sometimes are the ones that may feel like we're from Mars, and we feel ill-equipped to enter the arena. In spite of the awkwardness, we can't run and hide, because God clearly says that as His adopted children, we are to care for the orphan. Let's all stand out of reverence for God's word. Follow along as I read James chapter 1, verses 22 to 27. This is the word of God. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. May God bless the hearing and teaching of His inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Let's pray. Father, don't allow us to run and hide. Don't allow us to stick our head in the sand. God, don't allow us to shield ourselves from the brokenness of this world and the pain. God, enable us to enter it and redeem it by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'm sure many of you have heard this story. A little girl was in Sunday school one Sunday morning, and it was craft time. And all the children were drawing, and the teacher was walking around looking over various people's shoulders. And she came upon this one little girl, and she was intensely drawing. She wouldn't even stop. She wouldn't even notice and acknowledge the teacher. Then she said, "Lucy, what are you drawing?" And Lucy, without missing a beat, says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "But Lucy, no one knows what God looks like." And Lucy put down the pencil, looked up at the teacher, and said, "They will when I'm finished." Now, on one level, we know that we don't have a picture of God. He can't be drawn. On the other hand, we do have a picture of God. All through Scripture, we are told repeatedly what God looks like. Not physically, but what His character is. We're told in this passage what God looks like. He's a God who loves the fatherless and cares for the orphan. And guess what? All through Scripture, that is one picture of God that is absolutely consistent. Exodus 22, verses 22 and 23, "You shall not mistreat an orphan. If you mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. Deuteronomy 27, verse 19. Cursed is he who perverts the justice due to an orphan. Psalm 10, verse 14. To you, God, the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 68, verse 5. You are the father to the fatherless. That is who God is in his holy habitation. We do know what God looks like. And on this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, when it comes to understanding the lordship of Jesus Christ, we need to seek to connect the character of God and the will of God to the needs of orphans. Three ways we do that. Hopefully you received an outline as you walked in this morning. First of all, connect the needs of orphans to true spirituality. Look at verse 22. The context of this passage and this teaching on orphans is being doers of the word and not merely hearers. Verse 22. See, it's easy to think that true spirituality revolves primarily around Bible knowledge, around doctrine, around having a devotional life and going to Bible studies and listening to sermons. And those are all very important. But that is not the sum of true spirituality. True spirituality connects good doctrine, right theology, Bible knowledge, truth, to loving action. And we're told in this passage that it is possible to be deceived when it comes to thinking about our spirituality. Look at verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious. Now, James is not using religious in the bad sense of behavioralism, moralism, externalism, works righteousness. James is talking about true devotion, love for God motivated by God's grace. And he says that true religion, verse 27, that is pure and undefiled, in other words, that avoids hypocrisy, that is authentic. He says it involves visiting orphans in their need. What do you think devotion consists of? Before I read this passage, if you would have been asked for a top 10 list of what does a life of love for God, motivated by grace, what does it look like? What would you have put down? I know what most of us would have put down. First of all, we would have started with the spiritual disciplines. Read your Bible. Pray. Go to church. Tithe. Share your faith. Worship. And those are all great things. But that is not the sum of true spirituality. Others of us would have thought about all the taboos that good Christians are to avoid. The dirty dozen, the filthy five, the nasty nine, the sinful six, the awful eight. And you see the Christian life and true spirituality mainly in terms of negation. And frankly, that is how most of the world sees the church. What are we opposed to? What are we against? James says true spirituality is beyond spiritual disciplines. And it's certainly beyond what we're against. True spirituality is really what we're for. True spirituality has to do with what we love, with what we care about. True spirituality is living a life of love that is in line with the heart of God. And the heart of God is clearly pictured for us in this passage and all through Scripture as being for the orphan. He was a poor teenager. He grew up in the roughest part of the projects of Memphis, Tennessee. His father was murdered. His mother was a crack cocaine addict. It was in the middle of winter. He was in a t-shirt and shorts walking alongside the road. And Leanne Tui, stops, asks him who he is. Michael Orr, he says, do you have a place to stay? Eventually the truth comes out, no. She brings him to her home, to her family. They feed him. They give him a place to sleep. The family takes him in. Leanne Tui and her husband Sean eventually formally adopt Michael Orr. He's failed out of every school practically he's ever been in, and they work with him on academics. They enroll him in their Christian school. They hire tutors. They encourage him to go out for football. The rest is history, as they say. Recent history. For Michael Orr went on to play at Ole Miss. Was an All-American lineman. He graduated last year. He made the dean's list. He was a first-round draft pick this past year for the Baltimore Ravens. And his story, his true story, is now a motion picture. Just came out this week, called The Blind Side. Sandra Bullock plays Leanne Tui. Sandra Bullock is very hesitant to get engaged with believers. She says she's been burned. She can't stand either their self-righteousness nor their hypocrisy. But her preconceived notions of Christians were greatly challenged by getting to know the character she played, Leanne Tui. And she said, finally, somebody who walks the walk. Last week we talked about the importance of evangelism, as my Russian pastor friend Pavel was among us. And as you put these two stories together, you wonder, what would happen in our evangelism if the world saw more of what happened in the life of Michael Orr? Now listen, they're not always rosy pictures and success stories. Sometimes an adopted family experiences nothing but pain and grief and disappointment and heartache. God doesn't say true religion that is pure and undefiled is taking care of orphans when everything goes your way. He simply tells us true spirituality involves caring for orphans. How does your spirituality add up? Can I just be really honest? I'm a failure. I very rarely think about orphans. There's only a few things in my life that I've done because I was being obedient to this passage. And maybe all of us this morning need to be blindsided by the truth of God's word. So what do we do about it? It's one thing to talk about it. What do we do about it? Okay, I'm about to give you a point, the second point. Connect the needs of orphans to daily activity. I don't like giving these kinds of points because in my mind, what I'm about to do is a real snoozer. It is a yawner. Because all I'm going to do is go through 10 ways every single one of us can be obedient to this passage by taking care of orphans. If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to write these down. If you don't, I can post them on my blog and you can get them this week. But I would like every single one of us to come up with perhaps just one of these that we can apply on a regular basis in our lives. We'll start with looking at verse 27. True spirituality is visiting orphans in their affliction. Let's face it, is there any group of people more afflicted than orphans? They're abused physically, sexually. They're taken advantage of. They're pushed around. They're lonely. They're forgotten. They're unloved. They have no one to fight for them or care for them or take up their cause. And that's why God is for them. God helps the helpless. And isn't it great for us to be reminded in our helplessness that God is for the helpless? When it says that we're to visit the orphans, you realize that is a word that is used of God Himself. All through Scripture, when the helpless are in need, or when the people of God are being oppressed, the Scripture says God visited them. It means to show up with assistance and aid. It means to rescue or deliver or save. It means to seek to alleviate suffering. In Luke chapter 7, verse 16, the widow's son dies, and Jesus raises him from the dead. And the response of the people was this: God has visited His people. When we're called to visit orphans in need in their affliction, we are called to engage that world and to seek to bring relief from suffering. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 14, verses 19 to 21, God commanded His people, no matter what you do, if you grow grapes, if you grow wheat or other kinds of grain, if you grow olives, whatever you do, don't harvest all of it. Make it a point to be a little inefficient in what you do, so that you will leave gleanings for the orphans among you. Their whole lives were to revolve in some way in caring for the orphans. So how can we do that? 10 ways we can care for the orphan. Now, if you're on the orphan team, you need to especially listen up, because one message is not going to cut it in this church. We need the orphan team to continually keep these ideas in front of us. And we need the orphan team to enable us to begin to apply these on a regular basis. First of all of us can do this. Pray. Pray for orphans. But let me ask us to consider praying specifically. We've had so many people in this church embrace domestic or international adoption. Orphan team, we need to know the people, their names, their faces, who are in process of adoption. And we need to have their faces in front of us so that we can pray intelligently. There are also websites that we can go to where we can see real live orphans with names and all about them, and we can pray for them and ask God to break our hearts for the plight of the orphan. Secondly, speak up for them. We all carry pictures of our children with us. What would it be like if we began to carry a picture of an orphan with us, and we showed other people the picture of this orphan that we're carrying with us in our wallets or our purses, and we begin to network with people? This person needs to be adopted. Will you pray with me for them? Will you consider talking to other people about this orphan? Maybe we can get this orphan adopted if we get the word out enough. Thirdly, provide for their needs. All around this church, we have our COIN placements. C-O-I-N, caring for orphans in need. Pocket change. All of us have that place in our homes where we empty our pockets I've got a whole mug full in our bedroom of coins. And I'm going to take one of those things home and just pour it in and bring it back. We can also organize supply drives in our church, in our neighborhood, even in our schools. Fourthly, support those who visit orphans. When I say support, I'm not talking about financially here. Do something for people practically who have adopted or are foster parents, taking care of waiting children. Do something practical. Cut their grass. And when they say why, say, because I wanted to do something practical for someone like you who's being obedient to God by taking care of orphans. Bring them over a meal when they've done nothing out of the ordinary during that week. Nobody's sick. Nobody's in the hospital. Just bring them a meal. Why are you doing this? Because I wanted to do something practical to tell you thank you for being obedient to God's call to care for orphans. Hold a baby shower for someone who's actually going to be adopting a child. And if the child is older, hold a shower for them as well. Fifthly, protect them from harm. Practically get involved. Sign up to be a foster parent. Raise money to build an orphanage in cities around the world so that children, street children, would be able to go to a place where they're protected. Sixth, visit them where they are. Almost every mission trip we go on in the summers is in some way connected to an orphanage. Almost every city that we travel to as a church, St. Petersburg, Russia, has all kinds of orphanages. We have visited them. Go on a trip and visit an orphanage and develop relationships. Get the stories of the people who work there and begin to correspond with them, encourage them, tell them you're praying for them. Take dinner to an orphanage on a regular basis. Seventh, give sacrificially. Contribute, for instance, to an adoptive family. Think of the expense. Do you have any idea how much it costs to adopt a child? It's close to $30,000 or $40,000 for an international adoption. More if you add up other fees. Consider a friend in this church who's adopting either domestically or internationally. Have you noticed I haven't even asked anybody to adopt yet? There are all kinds of things we can do. Now, obviously, one of those things is adopt ourselves, but I'm not there yet. That's number 10. Number 8, encourage orphans to press on. We can get the names of older orphans, and we can become pen pals. We can encourage them. We can write letters to parents who are struggling because they adopted a child and they didn't realize that the mother was on crack when she was pregnant. And there's all kinds of emotional issues in the child's life, and that family's struggling as a result. And we can write, call, and encourage them to press on. Ninth, mobilize your church for orphan care. We already have a great start with our orphan ministry team. You can get involved in the orphan ministry team. You can contact the orphan ministry team and ask, how can I help? How can I serve? And then, of course, 10th, adopt a child into your home. Or even sign up for foster care and care for a waiting child until that child is adopted by a family. Verse 22, be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive ourselves. Listen, none of us can do all of these things, but all of us can do at least one of these things. And we need to find a way to keep the plight of the orphan in front of us. Because God says we can't really be loving Him. You may have your quiet time 7 days a week. You might memorize Scripture every day. God says you're not as godly as you think you are if the orphan is not on your heart. And then thirdly and finally, we also need to connect the need of orphans to gospel identity. And I said this earlier. We are, if we know Christ, adopted by grace. In Christ, we are adopted into God's family. Look at verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father. One of the most beautiful names of God emphasized in the New Testament is God as our Father. A God who brings us, who were street children without hope, into His home. You've heard it said that the gospel is simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I think we can change that illustration a bit and even improve upon it. The gospel is one orphan telling another orphan where they can find a father. The gospel is one street child telling another street child where they can find a home. Romans 8 verse 15. God says we do not have a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but a spirit of adoption through which we cry out, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father. See, it's one thing to talk about justification. Justification is a courtroom scene. Wow, isn't that comforting? The judge with a gavel banging it and saying, guess what? You're acquitted. That's wonderful, isn't it? With adoption, the scene in heaven changes. Justification is the scene of the courtroom. Adoption is the scene of the family. It's one thing to be told you're not guilty. It's a whole nother thing to be told you have a home. You all know I go to Ireland regularly. And you can't go to Ireland very often without seeing that Ireland's landscape is scattered with sheep. And if you look at sheep for long, you get to see them in lambing season. And if you look at sheep in lambing season, there's going to be a time where you're going to see a lamb that looks like it has two coats. Now, the reason it looks that way is because it does. There is actually a wool fleece over top this lamb. It's tied around the lamb as it runs around. There are four holes for its legs and a big hole for its head. And it's actually running around with the flock with its own coat and another coat over top of it. Why? What's going on? That lamb's mother has died. And that lamb is an orphan. And if that lamb isn't cared for, that lamb is going to die. But if you bring that lamb, whose mother has died, to another ewe lamb, another ewe sheep, that ewe is going to reject that lamb because that lamb doesn't have her scent on it. But in flocks that birth many lambs, every ewe has a lamb that has died at some point or another in the birthing process. The good shepherd takes that lamb that has died and removes its fleece. Then he wraps it around the lamb whose mother has died. And when the lamb with the coat is brought to the ewe who herself has lost a lamb, she then, smelling her scent, embraces that lamb as her own. What a picture of the gospel. We, in our own righteousness, would be rejected by God. And through faith in Christ, we are wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus. So that when we are brought to the Father, we are not rejected, but embraced and invited into His family. No longer orphans, but cared for by the God of the universe. And God says, as you truly begin to understand the gospel in deeper ways, and you understand that you would have been left, and I would have been left, dead in our sins, were it not for Christ and His work on our behalf. As we really come to grips with the reality that we were once orphans, and are given the standing of the eternal Son Himself in the family of God, we are loved just as much as Jesus is. Jesus says in John that He's returning to His Father and our Father. Then when we think about orphans, both spiritually, metaphorically, everybody in the world who's lost, and literally, orphans indeed, may God then show us the gospel and give us a fresh vision of what it means to care for orphans. You may be here this morning, and you may be an orphan, spiritually speaking. There's a family for you if you would simply come to Christ. And once you come to Christ, you join the rest of us who were once orphans and now have a home and now have a father. And together we spur one another on to care for those who are orphans in need. Father, we thank You for Your word that there's so many different aspects of Your nature that is revealed to us. And this morning we're reminded that You're a God who cares for the homeless. You're a God who cares for the fatherless. And You're a God who has put us in Your family and then calls us to care for those without one. God, move among us. Help us to leave this morning with one application of what we can do so that we wouldn't be hearers who deceive ourselves. And God, if there's anybody here this morning that is an orphan spiritually, may today be the day that they're clothed with that lambskin of Jesus. And may You smell the scent and welcome them in. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Hear the benediction, the promise of God's grace, His fatherly favor upon us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Abba Father, and the fellowship and transforming power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.